Our God has given us another beautiful day, another wonderful privilege to be here before Him as His people. We're grateful that you are here. We're thankful for the visitors among us. It is an encouragement to us that you made that decision to be here, and I pray that we are an encouragement to you. Just two announcements here real quick. Don't forget the Ladies' Day, May 9th. There are flyers in the foyer. I think there's still some, or you can take a picture of the QR code. And ladies, plan that into your calendar. And then also, looking at the bulletin this morning, I saw that I failed to actually put the sermon topics for today in the scripture reading. I apologize for that. And then also on more of a personal note, I would ask for your prayers for Christy. Her cancer has come back, and she's going to see an oncologist later on this week to get that addressed and treatment started. So please keep her in your prayers. And also, her and her mom are driving back from Missouri today, so pray for their safe travels also. This morning, as we talk about wholehearted devotion to God, you know, if we were to summarize everything that we've talked about this year, and if we just to put it into one category, I believe that we could say it's all about having wholehearted devotion to God. Now, of course, our theme of walking worthy from Colossians 1:10, we spent the first 3 months of this year talking about following the words of Jesus. Now, for April, we're going to be talking about following the ways of Jesus. And then the 3 months after that, the works of Jesus. And we're going to end up the last 3 months talking about the wisdom of Jesus, walking in those. But if you were to summarize everything that we've been looking at, really we've been challenged in many areas, such as proclamation and service and transformation. So in our study this morning, if you would open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, I believe we see all of that coming together. And here's the thing I want you to think about before we look at the text and start talking about that. I want you to think about how Satan operates. Right? Satan, he's trying to get us to not focus on Jesus. Right, Hebrews 12, verse 2, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Now, Satan, what he's going to do is he's going to ambush us. He's going to attack us. And he's doing everything he can to keep us from focusing on Jesus, focusing on the spiritual. Right, we get hit on all sides many times. And many times it's Satan trying to get us to think that that's more important than keeping our eyes focused on Jesus. Right? He ambushes us. And one thing I learned about ambushes my time in the military is there's only really one main way to defeat an ambush. Military doctrine standard is you fight through the ambush. Right, that's generally the answer for it. Same thing, spiritually speaking. And God has given us what we need to defend ourselves from the ambushes of Satan and to fight back. So we're being challenged in all of these areas. We're being challenged to grow, right? And again, in proclamation and service and transformation and worship and all of these areas and others. But we have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus in that worthy walk that we're striving for. We must not lose heart, as Paul, real quick, you can stay there in Colossians. Paul compelled the church of Galatia, right, not to become weary in doing good, for in due time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. In other words, I think we can add to that if we're not distracted. Right, and these are areas that we must not grow weary in and lose heart. We got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. So this morning, tying up this idea of walking or growing with wholehearted devotion to God, you know, walking in the ways of Jesus, it's going to lead us here to, I think, a very vital lesson. And to have this in your mind as we set the stage here, to grow is to change. All right, let us be challenged in that. As a Christian family, be challenged in that in our own personal walk. But let's read this together. Colossians chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. We're going to set the stage here. Read it with me. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned there into verse 7. So I want you to notice that there is to be a result of growth, things after we heard, learned, and know. Right? The body of information that's been given to us is Scripture. God breathed. Right, it's sources of God. It's been recorded for us. This body of information that we can hear, that we can learn, that we can know. And therefore, if we accept that and we allow that in our lives, we're going to produce fruit. In other words, walk worthy. So I want to focus on verses 9 through 14 here. And I want us to look at three main points, focusing on making a change of life or building or growing or walking with wholehearted devotion to God. And I want you to notice, first of all here, how much of that focuses on prayer. Number one, let's talk about wisdom and spiritual understanding in verse 9. And this all begins with wholehearted devoted prayer to God. A fellow by the name of A.J. Gordon writes, quote, "You can do more than pray, but you can never do more than pray until you've prayed." And I like that sentiment. So to grow, I need to pray, and to pray is to change. Read it with me. Verse 9 in your Bible, Colossians 1. "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So Paul here, he believes so strongly in prayer that he continues to pray. Now the question is, how about you? And what's your prayer life look like? Right? You examine Paul's writings, and you see a man that deeply believed in the power of prayer and how prayer changes. It changes us. It changes our circumstances. And, you know, Paul here, he also understood prayer is not about, you know, manipulating God somehow to get what we want with some gimme attitude. If you look at his prayer here, now probably everyone here has prayed for someone else in their life. But would you pray like this? Not only is he praying for others and it's a continuous effort, but he prays that they would be filled with something. What does he pray that they would be filled with? Well, it's the knowledge of God's will. That's his prayer right here. To be filled with spiritual wisdom and understanding based upon God's will. And you see, Paul here was looking and caring beyond himself. So when you do that, when you're focusing upward and outward, right, beyond your own self, you're going to grow with wholehearted devotion to God. And this is a result of growth, a.k.a. bringing forth fruit. After you heard and learned to know the truth of the gospel, you see the idea that I want us to consider here before we go to our second of three points. I think many times we know we need to grow, right? Maybe we hear a sermon and our heart is convicted or in a Bible class or we're reading something in God's Word and we have this moment of conviction, right? And that's the purpose of the Word of God. It's to convict your heart. Purpose of the Word of God is not to make you feel good about yourself. It's about convicting your heart to do something. But we've been there, we've been convicted, and we want to change. We see a need to change, but the struggle is the how. How do I do that? Right? I really think the desire is there, but many times it's just the how-to. Lord, I want to change. How do I do that? Well, that's what we see in these verses right here, so I think it's very important that we all pay close attention. Right? I hope the Word of God still convicts you. I hope you haven't come to the point and say, well, I'm good enough. I don't need any more convicting. I don't need any more changing. I'm good. And I hope you're not there. I hope you see the need for constant conviction and constant change for the glory of God. And it begins with wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul prayed for others to have this wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, and I'm sure also we have people in our lives, I think all of us do, that we want to see, have an understanding of what God's will is for them in their lives. And if that's true, have you been praying about that? He's been praying that they gain spiritual and wisdom and understanding to know the will of God. And pray that we as Christians might understand and live this also in our lives. So the point is here, number one, to grow I must pray, and to pray is to change. Which leads us to our second main point here. Look at verses 10 through 12. And we're going to see here, verse 10 is our theme verse for the year. So read verses 10 through 12 with me in Colossians chapter 1. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. It's about Him, it's not about pleasing you. Being fruitful, there it is again, talking about being fruitful, in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, again and again, it's about this body of information that's been revealed to us and us learning it more and more and more, growing in it, increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul, what's that going to do? He said, I'm glad you asked, verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who qualified us, I'm reading out of the New King James, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now we're going to end this lesson here in just a little bit talking about the light. So I want you to keep that in mind. And so Paul here, he says, you know, we pray this in order that, or so that, you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Paul's prayers to bring about personal change. A change that draws us near to God, or as James writes in James 4 and verse 8, God says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Is that your daily prayer? And if it's not, the question becomes, if not, why not? Let's make sure our religion is not a luxury, but a necessity. When we wrap ourselves in prayer, right, a life that seeks to be walking worthy of the Lord, right, and please Him in every way, right, we read that, we're going to grow with wholehearted devotion to God. And then wholehearted devotion to God, that's absolutely going to change us. If you would, go back in your Bible to John, the 15th chapter here real quick. When Jesus is talking to his disciples, talks about he's the vine, his followers, the disciples, are the branches. John 15, verses 1 through 8, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already cleaned, or your translation might say pruned again, because of the word which I have spoken. In other words, the word of God cleans us and prunes us. And then a natural byproduct of that is we're going to bear fruit. We're going to be attached to the vine of Jesus Christ And we're going to let the Word of God prune us to clean us. And just we're just going to bear fruit. That's just the way it works. And jumping down here to verse 8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And just kind of a side note there, that's the third time in the book of John. That's the third of three proofs of discipleship in the book of John. Right? You want to know if you're an actual disciple of Jesus? Well, chapter 8, I think verse 31 says, abide in my word. You'll be my disciple indeed. Chapter 13, verse 34, 35, if we love one another, we're a disciple of Jesus. And then number 3 right here, we're bearing fruit, verse 8. Abide in his word, love one another, bear fruit. 3 proofs of discipleship. Something for us to deeply consider. So he talks about that and he calls us to remain attached to him, the vine, so that we can produce for him. Real quick here, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And if you'd like, go back in Matthew 7 and wait there for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are God's workmanship. Now that workmanship there is the idea of holy furnishings. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 4. Right? Solomon, he made the temple and through great detail and sanctification, they made holy furnishings to place into the temple. Same idea right here. But we're talking spiritual and church today. For we are his holy furnishings. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Pray for and do these things, right? It will change and strengthen our faith. And so I wanted to share something here, a fact that really struck me in all of this. Now we all bear fruit, right? I hope you know that. I doubt anyone would argue differently than what the text tells us. And so here's the thing. Now listen carefully. It doesn't matter if you're growing or not, you will bear fruit. You will. The question is, what kind of fruit will you bear? In Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 through 20, listen, now what's natural is a tree, it's going to bear fruit. Maybe good fruit, it may be bad fruit. But here it is. Jesus says so. Sermon on the Mount, beginning verse 17. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. To grow with wholehearted devotion to God, we have to pray. We just have to, so that we will bear good fruit, right? We've been called to a place of activity. And remember, if we're attached to the vine of Jesus Christ, we allow the Word of God, the vine dresser, to prune us, to clean us with his Word, we're going to bear fruit. It's going to be a natural byproduct of that. All right, number 3 this morning, let's talk about the result. Look at verses 13 and 14. And so our final point here, remember, to grow, I must pray, and to pray is to change. So if I make this change, if I'm dedicated to this growth process that God wants and desires for me, what will this lead to? What will be the results of doing it God's way? Let's see the results here in verses 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Talk about results right here some more in verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You see it? Now that's really a powerful and uplifting statement Paul gives to remind us here, to remind us that yes, all of this work, all of this effort, it's absolutely worth it. All of it. Because of what we have in Christ. And so Paul's prayer gives thanks to God for qualifying us, or as the King James says, he translates us. But what has he qualified us for? Well, to move from one place to the other, from darkness into light, from darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Now think about that. Do you need motivation to grow, to walk worthy? Now, we're going to talk about motivation this evening in our PM worship service. We're going to look at Romans chapter 2. We're going to talk about motivation, and I pray you're here for that. Think about this. God rescues us from darkness, and if that's not good enough, He rescues us and places us into His marvelous light. Peter writes that in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. And so we pray to thank God for this rescue operation. That's what it is. Right? And then pray to keep us in the light. And listen, understanding that helps me understand many other passages a whole lot more, like 1 John 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light, He sees in the light. The blood of Jesus continuously cleanses us. See, now that makes a little more sense, doesn't it? God rescued us from the domain of darkness, and friends and brethren, only God can do that. And so give thanks and pray and grow and allow that to be motivation for a wholehearted devotion to God. Now, as we begin to wind down here, I'd like you to go back in your Old Testament with me. Isaiah chapter 16, verse 2. Now remember what we just read. And come back here to Isaiah 60 and verse 2. Read, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Can you see it? If you're taking notes, write down Matthew 4, verse 16. Right before Jesus begins His ministry, right before Jesus starts to preach, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it quotes this verse right here. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Now, if you'll bear with me for just a moment here, I want to put this verse in context. So just bear with me. I want you to back up. I'm just going to skim through this really quick here. Back up to Isaiah 53. I want you to see what leads up to that verse there in chapter 60 and verse 2. A moment ago, when we take the Lord's Supper, I don't know, maybe your habit, it's mine. One of the places I always open up to, well, Psalm 22 also, but especially Isaiah 53. And it's all about the suffering servant. It's all about Jesus. The suffering Messiah that's coming to save. I'm sure many of us know this chapter really well. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading it in Acts chapter 8. Chapter 54 really is all about God's coming with a new covenant. Chapter 55, it's all about the abundant life. Verse 3, incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. What was His purpose with the Word of God? Well, it's to prune us, to clean us, to convict us. That body of information that we can hear and learn and know to bring forth fruit. Chapter 56 is all about salvation is coming for all people. Chapter 57, healing for the backslider, if you will. Remember that sentiment? Chapter 58, you know, what does pleasing God look like in a real way in our lives? In other words, walking worthy before the Lord. Well, I encourage you to read chapter 58. Chapter 59, do you remember this truth? Verses 1 and 2, listen, it's your sin, your iniquity, your transgressions that make a separation between you and God. Your sin, my sin, puts us in that domain of darkness. But then the good news, as the chapter develops, verse 9, therefore justice is not far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. But the good news is coming. And that's chapter 60, what we read just a moment ago. The seed promise will be fulfilled in Christ. What will that bring? Just like Matthew wrote down for us, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. That's a very powerful passage, right? It is the message, back in Colossians, that we have heard, that we've listened to, that we've learned, that we've believed. Right, in verses 5 through 7 here in Colossians chapter 1. It's the message that we become a part of. It's the message that gives us life and hope and strength in the light of Jesus Christ. To then grow with wholehearted devotion to God. Right, to walk worthy, and I would emphasize again, so pray. Remember that list you saw a couple slides back? Give thanks. Pray for others. Pray. Pray is to go. Pray is to change. Pray. Pray for that the wisdom and spiritual understanding. Pray that God will change your heart. But not only pray, but listen. You have to listen. Right? In all things, pray, but listen. Listen for the answer from God, and he gives us the answers. Verse 14 tells us an important point here to remind us again of what we have. Then he drives home the point in verses 15 through 18. Read it with me. For he's talking about Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him are all things, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And in him all things he may have preeminence. Verse 18 is a key verse, key statement of all of Colossians here. It's a reminder of who Jesus is. It's a reminder of who you pray to. It's a reminder of the cost, verse 14, to give you those wonderful blessings. You need motivation, there it is. Are you struggling to walk worthy? Are you struggling with wholehearted devotion to God? Be reminded on a constant basis who we're talking about and what's been made available to you. I want to read just a little bit more here, then the lesson is yours. I want you to look at verses 19 through 23. You know, maybe it's the case that you're here this morning and you're waiting. Maybe you're trying to decide if you should come to Christ Or maybe it's a case that you used to belong to Christ, but you left Christ. Now you're in that phase of, should I come back? Listen to this right here. Verses 19 through 23, and just be reminded here of our loving God and what He offers. For it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross, and you who are once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through the death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight, if indeed you continue in the faith grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. And the point there I want you to consider is God is a God of reconciliation. So if you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel, God is calling to be reconciled. You're still in darkness. But I pray the Word of God shows you the light of Christ. And you understand, I got to be in that light. We got to obey the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. With a responsive heart, you believe in Jesus, you're willing to repent of your sins, confess Christ, and reenact His death, burial, and resurrection in water. That's baptism. If you haven't done that, that's how you get into the light. Maybe you've done that along the way. You lost your way, and now you're back in darkness. You admit it. And you desire that reconciliation, well, let's pray for you, pray with you. Let's help you to be reconciled to God. If you have any spiritual need this morning, let somebody know, please, as we stand, as we sing.